I want to welcome you to the launch of a new podcast series named This Is My Story. My name is Judith McGill. I'm an independent facilitator, and I'll be hosting the series for the Individualized Funding Coalition for Ontario. We are a coalition of people, families, and allies, including independent facilitators and partnering organizations, who are dedicated to advocating for individualized funding to be an essential aspect of creating a good life. You can find out more about our work by going to the IFCO website at individualizedfunding.ca. This podcast series sets out to share stories from people and families who have had individualized funding and independent facilitation support over time. And they will share how these supports have contributed to the person leading a rich and meaningful life in their neighborhood and broader community. I want you to know that there will be other independent facilitators who will be sharing stories from people and families and explaining the way in which they've offered them support. IFCO would like to thank Community Living Ontario for the family engagement funding and other partnering organizations that made this first podcast possible. To protect people's privacy, we've changed people's names and left out any identifying information. In this podcast, we'll be hearing from Mark, who is Russell's older brother. I met Russell and his family in 1997 when a small family group invited me in as an independent facilitator to engage their sons and daughters in imagining what their adult lives might look like as they began leaving high school, and then supporting them to take the next steps in terms of building work, volunteer, and leisure roles in their community. It has been a privilege to walk alongside Russell and his family as he's grown and matured. Russell is a remarkably capable man with lots of joy and zest for life. His family has been devoted to ensuring that Russell lives fully and meaningfully, and that he guides his life and sets a clear vision for the future. This has truly been an inspiration for me. Let's begin. Let's start with the role that you've taken up during the pandemic and until now with supporting Russell to take back and reestablish some of the roles that he has had for many years in his life and the impact that the pandemic has had.
Problem is I've been like kind of in survival mode because of the fact that I'm working and like there's only so many hours in a day, and I'm not really doing any of those things well.
You've had endless demands, and there was a time when you could focus and dedicate yourself just to Russell. And now you find yourself supporting both Russell and your mother as she figures out how to deal with the experience of dementia.
Mm-hmm. It's an appreciation for mothers now, the mothers that work full time, because I'm just like, I totally get it now. So I've just realized it's hard for me to just even significantly clean up the house if I have to do, because I have to get them ready day to day. And I just realized, oh my God, like this is what mothers do. This is hard and I'm tired and I get it. Yeah.
You are in the sandwich generation that isn't coping very well because it's too much. Your life gets eclipsed and stolen in a way.
Yeah, we live in a complicated world, and we like to think that when we honestly talk and people are willing to share everything and not just what they're safe, because I just tell people like, yeah, I told me now I'm struggling. I'm like, you will never notice because you'll just look at me and you see what you want to see. And because I am like still to this day a dominant ass, that's all you want to see. And that's what you will see. And but if you actually talk to me, that there's a lot going on, but I always wear it well because of the fact that at least like, you know, I have an osteopath and I have a physiotherapist and I have a massage therapist and I'm seeing these people on a regular basis, so they are always taking care of me.
As a team.
Yeah,
to just make what you're doing possible.
Yeah, the good thing is that I am good at finding the moments because of the fact that I play soccer, and all of a sudden this means a lot more. So Thursday night, Sunday mornings when I play, this is my time, and I'm going to start training shortly. All right, now that I'm not working, I could kind of get back to, and people say, yeah, you need to train, because those hours that you just really focused on just you and just trying to reach your fitness goals and some of these, you know, like life goals that I'm still trying to fulfill, that pursuit of that is also something where that kind of takes you away from, you know, all of the responsibilities for a couple hours. And it's just you. It's like, all right, and, you know, I'm going to start going back to yoga class and trying to structure my life around my self-care and maintaining my emotional well-being. And then at the same time, slowly start circling back, all right, and say, so look at all of these things, because I'm like, okay, we got the most important thing. So the time that I have been around the home, so I could see how the day and where the gaps are and what needs to be done. So I really do have a really good understanding of what was happening and what needs to happen going forward to make sure that we are now not doing what my dad specializes in, and we're just trying to get through the day. I'm like, okay, we know how to get through a day, and now I want them to live their best lives. So now we know how to survive and do the bare minimum. And now I really want them to be have much more of a fulfilling, purposeful day.
Mark, how do you go about taking direction from Russell?
Yeah, he gets frustrated and he shows me,
I need to get out of here. I need to live my life. And I can see my future is not with you guys. And because I took him out with me and I was telling him, like, I would do so much more of this with you if honestly they could let go of you. But, and I think he's trying to say, yeah, like in his own way, like, well, yeah, I want them to let go of me because I want to spend more time with you just doing age appropriate thing and being around people my own age and people that are like living this life where they're not at home with their parents at 8 o'clock on a Friday.
What are some of the adult roles that Russell plays in his life now?
Zion picks him up, and so Zion would either ride bikes with him, or right now, because it's cold, he takes him to Sky Zone. Comes back and he goes out with Sean, and then Sean a lot of times take him to the track. And he goes to the track. Track is the one place where he's free. Because he's track, he'll just run around the track. And then he'll just look, I don't need to hold your hand. I don't need to micromanage you. I don't need you to tell you how to do this, when to do this. So you just do what, you know, whatever your heart really, you know, wants in the moment.
He's been a trampoliner now at Sky Dome for many years.
He just goes to a trampoline and he jumps for an hour. Obviously, somebody will tell him at the end, like, yeah, we have to go home eventually. But other than that,
would you see him at Sky Zone being understood for how capable he is? People know him there?
The problem is that they have different people cycling in and out. But the people that are there regularly, like, they see him, they know him, and they recognize him, because obviously, yes, he's a lot different than anybody, most of the other people that come in there.
I think one time you said he bounces 600 times in an hour?
Oh, no, that's way more than that. It's like 3,000, because he was like 60 times 60. So 60 times a minute times 60 minutes. In terms of if there's like, you know, frustration or sensory overload, like all of that stuff gets.
What else are you noticing about what he wants to do and who he wants to become?
What I am noticing, he is trying to talk to me, because I guess he knows I'm the only one who's actually really listening to what he wants. He's been trying to tell me, well, two things. One, that he wants to go someplace. He'll stop me every once in a while. And basically what he'll say is tree. And tree just means like Trinidad. But Trinidad, it represents a lot of things. It represents, I want to go somewhere. I want to travel. I want to stay at a hotel like I used to. His pre-pandemic life when we were traveling, I think the last place he's been to is when we went to South Carolina to visit my cousins. Well, that's the last time we traveled for pleasure or leisure. He loves to stay in hotels and he likes the swimming pool. And so he's been telling me that a lot, because when I was trying to clean out the basement, there were some suitcases there. And then again, he points to the suitcase. Where are we going somewhere? He really wants that. And then The running room thing we looked into, they run on Wednesdays. We went up there and met with the group just to see what it looks like, because Lee, it's not the same location where he was very familiar, very well known.
I remember not long after he joined the other location, he was invited to become one of the main pacers, which meant that he would set the pace for the entire run, and people would aspire to keep up with him and really highly valued that contribution.
Hoping to establish like the same kind of dynamic there. They have a larger group there, and they seem like it's the same thing in terms of all different abilities, and they all really support each other. And so I know that Pine will get in there and do what he does. And we're going to try and start on that next Wednesday, get him up there and resume that particular being role in his life. So we bought some stuff, bought him some shoes, and I bought him one of the reflective jackets, because he'd been trying to tell me that for weeks. He wants to really establish himself more in terms of, these are the things that that I really want to do, that I need help with, and definitely doesn't want to be ignored.
How does he make that known to you?
Oh, you just don't. Let's just say the thing over again. With the running room, every time we passed by the store, he would continue to point, and he's just letting you know. So I know that it means more than just going in there, that it, what happened to this part of my life? Can we get back on track and basically start doing those things again? If he can do some local 5K races, because we used to do that. We went in, I think, about three of them. It is a big thing with many people in terms of you run, and there's this sense of community. There's all these people, and get to the end, and they give you a medal, and just the encouragement, the togetherness, it means the world. This is a place where, you know, you're accepted and validated, and at the end of the day, with all of the crappy things going on in life, just to be in this place where there's warmth and just good feelings all around.
Russell has had so many different art coaches over the years since he left high school, and I'm wondering what this latest man has brought to his life and his interest and passion for art.
Right now they're just doing drawing. He will draw something, and then he will do it line by line and get him to make the pattern, and then after he does the pattern dot by dot, he will connect it. So he's drawn a lot of cool little things, and when he's done, he just takes those papers and he's like their prized possessions. Even Gladstone's tries to take his drawings, and then he'll take those too. He's like, no, I want all of them. And then you could see, yeah, it does satisfy something that has been greatly, you know, overlooked and neglected, and an aspect of his life that truly has been missing, not even recognizing that he does have this incredible interest and passion and something that's really important to him.
Mark, how would you describe your long-term imagination?
Long-term, what I would like my brother to have an opportunity to really live the life that he always wanted to live. And I don't think at times we as a family have been truly, you know, locked in and listening to what he really wants, because he was not able to so freely articulate what he wants in words. Over the years that we've learned to listen to him, and I really think that at this point in time, my brother is ready to really be on his own, and he sees himself as a fully developed, competent adult who just needs the proper supports, financial supports and support workers, in order for him to, you know, to be truly happy and to really, for the first time, have the adult life that I think that truly that he wants in his heart. And I think some of that is rightfully so, and it's more than age appropriate. My brother's 45 years old, and he wants distance from his parents. I honestly believe that he is just tired of the way he is being viewed by them, because it doesn't matter how many times I say, you know, he's a man, And so I think that's one of the reasons to why my brother has gravitated towards me, is because I'm one of the only ones that actually like, okay, you are 45. If I looked at myself at 45, these are the things I'm doing and this is how I'm living. And he just wants those same things. So I see that he wants his own space and that he wants to pursue his interests, and he can't really do that if he is, you know, still under the watchful eye of my parents, who just want to protect him from the world when he wants to be out in the world.
So this is nothing foreign to him, and he's just older, and I think it now it matters a lot more than it would did back then, because this is your life without your parent, and that's what we're setting you up for. And I want you to be content, and I want you to be secure to ultimately feel good going forward. Like, we're going to be fine. I just think that he's so much more aware than what I could ever really. He just knows that his future is, I guess, with me.
Yeah.
And he knows that. And I'm just telling
him. You and me, brother, we're going to figure it out.
Yeah. And I've told him that. Yeah. So, so I know you're watching this happening. It starts with me getting the basement taken care of. I'm going to have to tell my dad. He's coming down. We used to bake all the time. Mm-hmm. We used to make cakes, and I don't know what happened. I know that kitchen and that space is underutilized. Okay, fine. Let them go downstairs and let them cook. He would be happy.
Because downstairs initially, and that whole imagination was an early leaving high school, we're fixing the basement up so that can be his pad, mm-hmm. his suite, his apartment.
Yeah.
And then it slowly got taken over. He never really got to inhabit the place, except for we had his support circle meetings there for years and help him think about, how do we take this back?
Yeah.
And you're saying take it back so your mother can also benefit from supports there?
Yeah. Because I just think that there's my mom. I like to think that, no, it's not even think. I believe it. My mom still wants to be this woman that she was. And just like, she just needs help. So if it's even if they're baking and it's like, here, I just want you just stir this or pour this. I'm trying to make sure that there's certain routines that I'm just like, okay, like, this is what we do. This is how we do it. And she's capable of just doing as much as she humanly can. And she, again, she comes to life when I'm there. And okay, so mom, here we go, we're gonna wash our hands, make sure our hands are clean. And then the beautiful thing about my mother is that when she looks in the mirror and she sees herself, she laughs.
Uh-huh.
It's like, and I was, you know, so in a way it's like, yeah, what a concept, if you looked in the mirror and you just looked and you like what you see. And so when she sees herself after she washes her hands and she washes the face and brushes the teeth, she's laughing and smiling at herself, or you know, she just, or sometimes she thinks it's a different person, but the person that she does see, she likes that person. So I'm just like, okay, so I want to keep that. Obviously, she doesn't recognize herself, but she likes.
That's essential.
Yes.
So you've helped her hire 3 different supporters. They're all helping her out in the world.
Yeah.
And the accompaniment means everything to her, right?
Yeah. The females, and it's like she sees them as soon as they open the door. She, and her eyes, and they're just like, oh, and you give her a hug. And I'm just like, yeah. And then I look at my dad, and I'm like, that's what we can give her. Mom, I tell her all the time, I'm trying my best. But I'm just like, yeah, but I can't replace the love and the bond and the warmth that you have with your sisters. And I don't even know what that is. What is it? What that truly meant in a house full of guys. Yeah. We had female family. I just know that that needs to be an important part of her day. Like those hours where she's just like, okay, you know what? I could just, there's this infusion of warmth and energy and positivity and companionship and everything else. So
family and trying to keep it whole. Initially, you'll reestablish the basement as his. And then what about the long term when your parents are no longer there? What do you and your brother imagine?
No, well, long term, there's like 2 possible scenarios. So one is for him to continue to live in the basement, and then the possibility of either somebody else living upstairs but it's just to have a clear separation between upstairs and downstairs. So if it means breaking the walls a little bit so that they could have a second entrance into the basement, so it will be more like a legal, you know, basement dwelling apartment, so that somebody can just easily just walk through the back and then be able to take my brother out. So the support workers would be able to come and go without having to go through the front door and down the stairs to make the two spaces separate dwellings altogether, so that the support workers can provide the 24/7 care that he needs. He would be able to fully pursue all of these things without having to deal with everybody else on the ground floor and you know, the top floor. He wants his own space that he can command without having to accommodate and kind of look over his shoulder. And say, I want my brother to unapologetically just be who he really wants to be.
Let's talk about his work life. What might be possible at this point?
More than anything else, that's probably the piece that is missing, that my brother just feels that he does have an inherent worth that he wants to work, and he has a tremendous work ethic. He listens, he follows instructions, and he's a very diligent, tireless worker. And I think that he wants an opportunity to utilize those skills in a proper workplace. So that is the next piece that I'm really trying to put in place for him, that he wants to work, just like many of us, this sense of just contribution and having a work environment and just be productive and do the business that needs to get done. In previous generations, he was working in various places. I want to work and be needed and want to have an opportunity. He needs funding for some poor workers to say, hey, can you go in this work environment, watch over him and port him in the areas where he may need somebody to speak for him. But other than that, keeping a watchful eye and supporting him so that he can have that normal life that other people can do unassisted. He wants the same thing. It's just that he needs some assistance.
And he's reestablishing his community at the new runner's store. There is a sense of community already. And I'm wondering if he could do stocking work or unpacking there, because they already see him as part of their community.
Yeah, so those are for those opportunities for him where he can naturally just step in and just say, I'm going to come in here, probably be your best worker because of the fact that he's more grateful for this opportunity here. He is going to actually work really hard and he's not going to be lazy. This guy will work until you tell him to stop working. That's kind of who he is and how he basically does everything. He does it 100%.
I'm wondering, when you look back, where do you think you would be, your family would be, without the funding to have community support workers alongside Russell as he pursues his passions?
Without the support, we would be in a very dire situation because of the fact that as much as you would like to have a family of people who can provide that care and support on a consistent basis without the money, people aren't going to do things out of the goodness of their heart on a consistent basis. And they can help you out in emergency situations, or I could come in and fill in here and there. But the money has just given me so much confidence in terms of really being able to go forward and to really put some concrete things in place, because when I talk with people, that's the first thing that they bring up. I'm willing to do this, can meet these conditions. They want to know that they are going to get paid and get paid timely and get paid consistently. What is done is it is just, man, it's given me the opportunity to move forward at a much faster pace than I could if I was lacking resources and then trying to figure out, well, this is the plan, but how am I going to implement this and have something sustainable if I'm always constantly trying to figure out how am I going to fund this and support this? We have a budget that I could work within so that can see what I rightfully can do and easily do, and then what is a little bit more of a challenge. The funding is everything, because if you don't have the funding, then you're operating on what ifs and more like a dream, kind of like a fantasy, the idea of trying to do something and the reality of actually having everything in place to actually make it happen and implement it. The beautiful thing about our whole situation is that when I'm talking with anybody, I'm like saying money is not the issue. The major issue is trying to find good people, and it's much easier to find good people if you have money. There's still a lot of good people out there. That's the one thing that this whole process has taught me, is that I know that there's still really good people that have, you know, that have a heart of gold, do really want to help and make a difference.
One thing that I would like to hear from you, you mentioned all the things that keep you being able to do what you're doing. What about this role? How would you describe how it's benefited the family up until now, and at least you, as you take on this succession work?
And the most basic of levels, with these situations that are very difficult in terms of dealing with trying to take care of your family on a day-to-day, you're worried about the future and what it could look like, and just to have somebody who can confidently speak on these are the things that you need to be aware of going forward, and we're going to start, you don't have to do this on your own and do trial and error, and see with the resources and the experience that you have where you can just say, okay, I've seen this situation many times, so these are the things that you need to be aware of going forward. Here's a plan, here's a blueprint, here's a foundation that we can start building here, so that you're not reacting to something that is inevitable. Preparing, like, this is the cycle of life, and this is what you need to do in order to handle this in a much more intelligent manner. Right now, this is what I'm dealing with. My dad doesn't want to deal with the future. We need to deal with the future. It's not going to stay the same. Life doesn't stay the same. Things aren't stagnant. We need to be ahead of things. We need to have a plan and not react to a crisis down the road. I just know that you're making sure that this is going to make sure that you're not going to be trying to work out of a crisis. Mm-hmm. That we know where this is going, and where at least obviously death is we can't escape that, and things are going to be painful, but you know what's worse is not to be prepared at all. And then didn't leave anything for my brother, and I'm like, who's taking care? Are they taking care of him? Or are they trying to take advantage of him? Is he somewhere just unhappy? And same thing with my mom. Probably the most important thing is the potential that, you know, we see things through our own eyes, and then you're trying to show us something like that, that it can be more and bigger, and especially with my brothers. Yeah, different, because in a lot of many ways, as he's gotten older, like, all he wants to be treated the same as everybody else and seen the same way as everybody else and respected, appreciated like everything else. When you always tell him, he's like, yeah, okay, he has to be more than somebody who you're just taking out, that he has to be seen as somebody who is contributing and valued and respected in the community. You always circling back and reminding us. So more than that is probably the greatest thing that you brought to me, this farmer getting by and meeting some of his needs, but you're always reminding me it could be so much better. And this is how you can make it better. And this is what you have to open your eyes to in terms of, you know, what is possible, and to talk to people that there are good people out there that will share in that vision and make it a reality. It's also, we're just so protective of them. I don't trust a lot of people, but I know that there's a lot of good people out there, and it seems like that's the beautiful thing that's happening. Like, I have a lot of good people coming my way.
That want a relationship with them.
Yeah, because they see there's a two-way. Yeah. So it's like, no, trust me, I get from your brother, because your brother's happy, and it makes me happy. Like, yeah, we're here, mm-hmm. and we're fine in this moment. Let's enjoy mm-hmm. this moment. And
he's definitely a this moment guy. Thank you so much, Mark, and I'm sure that you've inspired many people and families by just sharing truthfully as you have. Your tenacity, devotion, and determination has really brought
Russell back into finding his way again. And I want to recognize with Aunt Jacob, his other brother, spending every weekend there in a loving and present way with him and your mother. This wouldn't have been possible. Your dad's contribution, and also your mom's niece who came for 6 weeks, who really brought a whole lot of hope and warmth to the situation.
No, thank you for the opportunity, and I am definitely grateful for your help, not only now, but over the years. And, you know, you are a wealth of knowledge, and my family is able to do what they are able to do because of all the time that was spent with you all throughout the young adult life. And now that he's approaching 50, that you've been with us all along, and it has made a huge difference. So I am thankful that my mom has spent a lot of time learning from you, and you showing them where the government supports are. It's much easier to initiate things and to further look into things and put things in place when you're not trying to find out where to start or where we're going to get the money to even get this off the ground. We are definitely appreciative that you've been in our lives and helped us along the way, and you continue to help us.